eat a dish of Chris out of a bowl of Joel on a saucer of tea? Or would you rather have him just fill me up with Fred? Feed me a fork of Frank and one more helping of Dick. Lay it on, I
think. This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush has used the second veto of his presidency to reject Congress's $124 billion war appropriation bill. It is unlikely Democrats have the votes to override the veto. The president meets today with leaders from both parties to discuss new legislation. The Pentagon announced today nearly 4,000 additional U.S. soldiers arrived in Baghdad this week as part of the administration's security surge. The U.S. crackdown on sectarian violence is now in its 12th week. In Iraq this morning, 10 residents have been killed, 22 wounded in sectarian fighting. U.S. authorities continue to try to confirm Iraqi claims that the country's top al-Qaeda leader was killed yesterday in a battle between militants. The body of Abu al-Masri has not been found yet, nor has the al-Qaeda chief made an appearance to refute rumors of his death. Anti-American protests continue to sweep across Afghanistan for the fourth day. Demonstrators accuse NATO forces of killing civilians in several recent battles with the Taliban. In Jerusalem, an emergency cabinet meeting has been called for today to discuss the ramifications of a scathing report on the prime minister's handling of last year's war in Lebanon. Even members of his own party are calling on Ehud Olmert to resign. Thousands of people participated in pro-immigrant marches and rallies across the nation yesterday. The demonstrations were smaller than those held last year. Protests were nonviolent except in Los Angeles, where police used rubber bullets and tear gas to break up rock-throwing crowds in MacArthur Park. Several people were injured, including a television news crew. Drought and higher-than-usual temperatures may make for a chaotic fire season this year in the west and southeast. That's according to the National Interagency Fire Center. Officials at the center forecast serious fire danger, particularly in Florida and central Alaska. The first televised debate of Republican presidential candidates will be aired tomorrow on MSNBC. 10 candidates will appear. The debate will be moderated by anchor Chris Matthews. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Stay tuned. Science and business are next.
Huelhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their local banking. I just wonder why you think it's important to bank in a local bank.
Because it's here in our community, in our area, and we tend to find that they have the best service for us. They are always there when we need them.
Do you like the idea that it's a local bank with big bank services and benefits?
You get all of the benefits of the big banks, but you walk in, people know who you are.
Yeah. Now, it's a community bank, but it's part of a network of banks.
Absolutely. They have the resources, but of course the personal touch of a local bank.
I am here once a week, yes.
Taking money out.
Taking money out and putting it in and taking it out.
So you're doing a lot of banking in here.
I carry it in wheelbarrow.
Above and beyond banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
In Washington, a local judge just wants his pants back from the dry cleaner that lost them. The pants, valued at $800, are now worth $67 million to the judge, who's suing, he says, due to the stress of not being able to wear them on his first day on the bench. He wants the cleaner to pay for 10 years of weekend car rentals so he can take his dry cleaning elsewhere. In response to a diminishing population, Japan has opened its first baby hatch, a drop-off location where parents can anonymously leave their unwanted infants. The hatch, located in a hospital in southern Japan, is expected to boost the birth rate in the country where abortion is widely accepted. Federal prosecutors have indicted the owners of eGold Limited, the online company which converts users' currency into precious metals. The three chief owners are charged with money laundering and other financial scams, as well as child pornography. Restaurant chain Yum Brands, a company whose portfolio includes KFC and Taco Bell, reports a 14% rise in quarterly net income. A fall in U.S. earnings was more than offset by robust sales in China and other overseas markets. Light sweet crude is trading at $64.29 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. You can find more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
This is a top to, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11,
oh,
11,
and most of
11,
the
and
amps
11.
Go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to
11. 11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions of Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. Now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
All right, everybody. G'day, g'day, g'day. Welcome aboard Foxed Up here for another day. And, this is going to be a tough show. Simply because reality is struck. And, man, this is just, I'm going to try and not blow a massive cork over the short-sightedness of the country in which I reside. For the deniers out there, go suck an egg. For the farmers out there, my heart just breaks for you. It's official. The eastern half of Australia has run out of water. And I'm not talking about, you know, like minor things. We're talking about huge lack of water. Now, it was announced today, and I've just realized that I've closed a wrong link, which I'll fix here. It was announced today that unless there is significant rainfall in the next 6 weeks, there will be no irrigation allocations from the Murray-Darling Basin, which feeds like all the farmers in eastern Australia this year. And what does John say? Pray for rain. That's right. It's a faith-based water initiative here, people. For rain. I am just absolutely blown away by this one. The fact that it seems to have, you know, I mean, we knew that this was coming, but we've been hearing, you know, 2 years, 3 years of rain, all, you know, all this kind of thing, you know. But no. We're talking, we have nothing but salt-lined, dried-up reservoirs in the irrigation tracts of eastern Australia. And when I say eastern, I'm talking about like the eastern half of the country. This affects New South Wales and Victoria and southern Queensland. So I've got a bunch of stuff here, but from the Sydney Morning Herald, and all these links are on the show post for today. I like I said, I really, really want to blow a cork. I'm so angry because things could have been done. But no, we've had all this bloody infighting, and yeah, the states are somewhat to blame as well. They couldn't get it together. We needed a national initiative on water in this country. It's, you know, it's very, very simple. But the first piece that I'm going to pull from, Murray water crisis sparks ban. No water will be allocated to irrigators in the Murray-Darling Basin for the coming year unless there is substantial rain in the next 6 weeks, Prime Minister Johnny Howard said today. Mr. Howard today described the situation as unprecedentedly dangerous following a report of state and federal officials that examined water availability in the Murray-Darling system. Unless there are very substantial inflows, and for that real heavy rain leading to runoff into the catchment areas prior to mid-May 2007, there will be insufficient water available to allow any allocation to the commencement of the 2007-2008 water year for irrigation, the environment, or any other purposes other than critical urban supplies, he said. And I do believe that that's Peter in the chat room as B1 Louder, saying, you know, Australia was going to be hit first and hardest. And, you know, I'm sorry, all these people that said, ah, you're all fear-mongering, stick it up your bum. All right? Just stick it up your bum. It's just absolutely, you know, I was about to say I can't believe it, but I can believe it, because this is just the way things happen in this world. Everyone just wants to sit there and go about their business the way they've been doing it, the same thoughtless way, and just dream that it's all going to get better. Steady in the chat room says, water wars. I've said it many times. Water World was a terrible film. But the point was spot on. Urban supply is not at risk, though. Funny that. The farmers can die, but the cities will be okay. Mr. Howard stressed urban water supplies were not at risk. It would also be possible for some farmers, particularly those with riverside properties, to draw water for their own personal need, but not for their stock. He said all the farmers were receiving support under the government's Exceptional Circumstances Drought Assistance Program. I will be urgently examining what additional assistance might be appropriate at the Commonwealth level. Financial assistance is a little late now. We needed water infrastructure assistance. This just seemed to come out of nowhere. And I do find it interesting, you know, Howard's been trying to get a federal plan together, but the states haven't wanted to, not all the states wanted to get in on it, and Victoria basically turned him down flat yesterday. And I actually can't say that this is, you know, a political thing, but the timing of the announcement is a bit dodgy. And yeah, farmers die, cities starve. But I'm seriously worried that we're going to have like mass suicides in the farming community this year. I mean, there are some really, really depressed people out there. I mean, they've been watching their livelihoods just absolutely just be torn to shreds. And it's heartbreaking. It's absolutely heartbreaking. And this is global warming. There's no doubt about it. We're heading into our first break, folks. So I've got plenty more to rant about. When we come back, we'll do a little bit of more chatting about this stuff. If you want to get in on the program, you know the numbers. I'll give them to you after the break because I got it. Well, I got it here. Oh, yeah, 304-658-5453 or 877-443-2366 or email me, john@headonradionetwork.com. We got the track of the day when we come back, and there was a reason why I saved this particular track. It was for today. So stick around, folks. You're listening to the Head On Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. If we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
We are taking to the streets, sidewalks, paths, and parks across Canada in support of ALS research and to raise money to provide quality care for the thousands of Canadians living with ALS and their families. Please join us. Walk for ALS is a fun, family-friendly event occurring in more than 60 communities across Canada. We are walking because ALS is a devastating disease. The average life expectancy is only 2 to 5 years.
We are walking because every day 2 to 3 Canadians die from ALS.
We are walking to provide hope.
We are walking for those who can't. Most people with ALS will lose the use of their legs in the first 2 years of the disease. What would you do while you still could? For more information or to register for the Walk for ALS, visit www.als.ca/walkforALS.
Everybody, welcome back to the program. You're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, and it's a tough. It we've just really gotten some very, very frightening and tough news here in Australia. That the water for the farmers is all gone. And just before we went to the break, I was just kind of reading from this piece that's going through Mr. Howard's statements on the subject today. Says here, Howard said he was consulting states on releasing the report, which contains some commercial in confidence material. This underlines a critical situation that we face if there is no significant rainfall over the next few weeks, he said. Even if there is significant rainfall, and that, of course, is very much in the lap of the gods, it may be possible. It may not be possible until late July or well into August to determine whether that rainfall has been adequate, sufficient enough to allow some allocations to be made for irrigation purposes. And it goes on, critical for irrigation business. Mr. Howard warned the irrigation industries would be in a critical condition unless there was substantial rainfall. You are simply not going to have enough water, consistent with the obligation to supply critical human needs to town communities along the river system. You're not going to have enough water to provide any allocation for agriculture, Mr. Howard said. And I love this. You know, there's a difference between agriculture and human need. I wonder how that distinction was drawn. Mr. Howard said it was too early to start trying to calculate the impact a continuation of the drought would have on economic growth. Well, of course he's not going to say anything. We got an election this year. We know already that the drought has taken up to 0.75% to 1% of our growth. The longer it goes on, the harder the impact, Mr. Howard said. These are just stark facts. I'm not gilding the lily. I wish I had another story. I'd like to be talking optimistically about the drought rather than relaying this kind of story. Mr. Howard said there would be no irrigation for grapes and stone fruit crops if the drought continued, and there was no guarantee of carryover water. Now, this is coming from the same guy who stood up in Parliament when confronted about global warming, said he believed in global warming and the human impact on it. However, he did not believe that it had any had anything to do with the drought that we've been going through for the past 6 years. It's just absolutely insane. You know, Mr. Howard, you were well spoken today. You seemed very leader-like, but you're still a jackass. You've been running this country for over a decade. You have been in power all through this crisis, and you have done squat. You and your coalition with the Nationals have done nothing. When you could have actually taken some control over this issue, you could have forced cities like Sydney to take on the difficult repairs that needed to be done for the millions of liters of water that are lost under the roads in this town because the infrastructure is so damn old. You could have started actually releasing some of the flows down the Murray Darling that would have actually kept the river more healthy. But no. You sat on your hands like you do with virtually everything else. And it's disgusting. And just to take a break from all this, we're going to go to the track of the day. A great Australian band from about a decade ago called Hunters and Collectors, led by a guy by the name of Mark Seymour, who I've had the pleasure of meeting, who as a solo gig is just fantastic. And this track, I'm going to just give you a taste of the lyric here. I don't usually do this. However, now this was written, geez, early 90s maybe. Let's see. The hook is, when the river runs dry, you will return to the scene of the crime. When the river runs dry, salvation will rain on you one last time when the river runs dry. But here, here's the bit that I love. You got the power, I got the money, another million miles to run. I'd cry for the future, but I wouldn't get anything done. Relax, abandon ship, turn your back on Mother Nature, blind luck, destiny, do me a favor when the river runs dry. Now, I have no idea whether they were writing this about the possibility of what we're facing now, but I'll tell you what. It applies. So, without further ado, hunters and collectors, when the river runs dry, roll it, Bob.
Thank you. I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my Progressive Point of View, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. There's a time when good politics gets lethal, and that time is now. I'd have thought that after the horrendous carnage at Virginia Tech on Monday, the Democrats, at least, would be clamoring for new laws restricting handguns, the very weapons the killer used. But no, the powers that be in the party, rather than speaking out, are muffling their voices. Here's Harry Reid, Senate Majority Leader. I hope there's not a rush to do anything. Not a rush, Harry? There's only 32 innocent people dead in Virginia. Not a rush, Harry? There's only 10,000 people a year murdered by guns in this country, and only 1,800 of them are children. Not a rush, Harry? The homicide rate with guns in the U.S. is only 10 times Canada's and 50 times Britain's and 200 times that of Japan. So don't be in a rush or anything, Harry, because playing the angles in the next election is way more important than doing what's right, like saving lives. Isn't it, Harry? I'm Matt Rothschild. And that's how I see it.
It must have been prayer meeting with Reverend Brother Bob.
See, hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
You absolutely know that you cannot mention Robert Sunday without conjuring me. This is the known fact.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, sometimes I do it on purpose.
You know, the thing that kills me, you know, God just continues to punk Robert Sunday. After time, after time, and it goes back for years, you know. Let's talk a bit about his business ventures. From 91 to 94, he was involved in something called Calo Vita, and it was a multi-level marketing company that breeds that pyramid.
Yeah, like Amway.
Sold beauty products and healthcare products. Oh, they had a product called Sea of Galilee Mud Mask.
No, they did not.
Oh, yes, thank you.
You no.
Bob, as a heart attack, I'm serious.
Sea of Galilee Mud Mask?
Oh, yes, it was part of the product line.
Prayer meeting edition of Head On with Bob Kincaid, Wednesday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is The Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Mr. Kincaid. Does this man know how to pick them or what? Oh, that was just beautiful. there you go, Hunters and Collectors. Great band. And a few years back, not that many, but a few, there's kind of a legendary venue not too far down the road here, called the Bridge Hotel, and if you do the weekend thing, you do both Friday and Saturday night, and it's tucked in the corner, really crappy stage. The room sounds like garbage. However, there's always a vibe, and the very last gig that I ever did in that particular venue was Mr. Seymour, the lead singer from that band, and Mark Lazat, also known as Diesel, who you've heard played as a bumper on this program, and they were doing solo sets. And one night, Mark was the headliner, and the other night, the other Mark was the headliner. On the second night, when Mark Seymour was headlining, Diesel joined him on stage to do like about 4 or 5 songs. And in fact, my good friend Scott Barry was doing front of house for Diesel. I was the systems guy. And they got up there and they went and did a handful of Hunters and Collectors songs. And I'm telling you, acoustically, with those two guys playing and singing, it was like the Australian version of Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young with only two guys. It was just absolutely fantastic. And, you know, I wasn't living here when Hunters and Collectors were huge, but a bunch of my friends, you know, worked for them at the time. And, you know, they all used to, you know, so many of them told me what a great band they were. And I got a definite sense for what they must have been just off of Mark by himself. A fine guitar player, great singer, and a fantastic songwriter. I mean, that, you know, the production on that track, you know, has a bit of that late 80s, early 90s kind of vibe, but it's still great stuff. And Bob's telling me he's got the bumpers lined up for later. I get the impression Bob has fun when he produces my show. He likes to see if he can throw the music freak. Coming from the former DJ himself. Hey, remember those days, Bob, back in the early days of the network when we used to have Bob's DJ nights after Fourth Estate Radio? Oh, my God, that was just a flashback. Getting back to the sad news of Australia's water situation. Another story from the Sydney Morning Herald, and this one affects Mr. Mike Malloy because I know that he and his wife have a penchant for Australian wine. Australia's next wine vintage could be crippled if no water is allocated to the Murray-Darling Basin, winemakers say. Some 60% of Australia's wine grape production relies on water from the basin. The Winemakers Federation of Australia says it is not surprised at Prime Minister John Howard's grim warning that the basin irrigators face no water allegations from July if there isn't substantial rain soon. The Federation has predicted next year's wine vintage could be tougher than the current 2007 vintage, notably for a 40% drop in the number of wine grapes picked and crushed. Federation Chief Executive Stephen Strachan said the organization was braced for the worst-case scenario of zero allocations to irrigators within months. Australia's wine industry established a drought management task force last year to prepare the industry for a range of scenarios, including this worst-case possibility, Mr. Strachan said today. With picking of our 2000 vintage close to an end in most regions, we know that the amount of grapes picked and crushed this year will be dramatically down on last year's figures in the order of 30 to 40% across Australia and much more in some key regions. Although nobody knows when it will rain or how much it will rain, we have been working on the basis that 2007-2008 may be another tough year for many grape growers and winemakers, potentially tougher than the current vintage. The information released today about inflows and storage levels confirms that we may be heading in that direction. Over-allocation of our river's finite resources, the slow introduction of the market-based trading mechanisms, and the failure to minimize unnecessary losses from the system have made the consequences of this drought worse. And this is a very, very crucial point. We've had all this argument about what to do, and nothing's been done. And not so much about, you know, what to do to find more water. We were doing nothing about trying to retain the water that we have. And this is what really frustrates me. And this is where politics drives me absolutely insane, because we end up with states versus the feds, the libs and the nationals versus Labor and the Greens, and everyone wants to argue their talking points or just be contradictory, and the farmers get screwed. I mean, we live in a place that's hard to grow stuff at the best of times. Australian history is loaded with really bad land practice. You know, we've done massive clearing of land to grow Northern Hemisphere crops, to grow cotton. We flooded basins to grow rice. Absolutely moronic, stupid things. And as we've, you know, I haven't actually needed to drive into the bush for a while yet. But even 2 years ago, the last time that I did a bit of a run and had to head down to Victoria, you just drive by these dust bowls, which only a year or two before were fertile, green, vibrant farms. There was a story on the 7:30 report on the ABC tonight where they were interviewing a guy who runs a dairy farm. And this guy, the entire interview looked like he was going to, you know, lose it, like he was going to break down, and just purely out of his own pride and masculinity didn't. But he has pretty much come to the realization that if there's not significant rain in the next 4 weeks, he's going to have to sell off all of his cattle and just leave. And that's just so sad. It's just absolutely horrific, you know. And what will this do to the economy here? You know, not that you know, I am a big, you know, capitalist in any way. However, you know, people need to make a living, and some of the hardest working people in this world are the few remaining independent farmers. And as Bob's saying here, you know, he's a dairy farmer. He cares for his animals. You could see his concern for his stock. You know, and the farmers have realized they've been in deep caca for a while, and they've been screaming for real help and real solutions, but yet we get bizarre concepts of a water pipeline from Queensland to ship water down through New South Wales and Victoria. This would be like setting up the Alaskan oil pipeline to try and feed water. I mean, it's just absolutely stupid. And yet, the best that they can come up with is emergency desalination plants. And we have these stupid arguments about water recycling, and you have these idiots that go out on these really well-paid campaigns to go, you don't want to drink poo. We're above that. And that's just ignorance. You know, most of us in the States for decades have been drinking recycled water. It's just kind of, you know, you had the aeration tanks and the whole thing, and you know, where these idiots come off thinking that there's suddenly new water from somewhere, you know, that, you know, some great factory makes water. You know, it's a finite resource. And unless the cycle brings it back down to Earth once it's evaporated, there isn't any more. You know, it's just... it's just madness. And so, you know, part of where this is going to have a huge impact is going to be in the cost of food. And they're reckoning that, depending on the crop, we could see over the next 3 months a 40 to 60% increase in produce. That's going to hurt. That's going to hurt a whole lot of people. And, you know, another thing, well, I'll save this till we get back, because we're coming up on our final break for the morning. And I know this hasn't been a very happy show, folks, but, I mean, this is the reality. I try and do this in a way that isn't depressing as a rule. You know, because this is heavy stuff. But sometimes you just gotta go with what's happening, and this is what's happening. And this is just a sign of what's to come, unless we wake up. So stick around, folks. You're with Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be right back. Guess the way I've been, you call them golden. Giants outside.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
We often hear claims Muslims don't condemn terrorism.
And that Islam condones violence.
As Muslims, we want to state clearly
that those who commit acts of terror in the name of Islam are betraying the teachings of the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad.
We reject anyone of any faith who commits such brutal acts.
And will not allow our faith to be hijacked by criminals.
Islam is not about hatred and violence. It's about peace and justice.
Native American culture has helped shape many things, from the structure of the U.S. government to the foods we eat at the dinner table. But where Indians lack presence are newsrooms. I'm Brian Bull of the Nez Perce Tribe of Idaho and a member of the Native American Journalists Association. Please go to naja.com and learn how you can join. We need people familiar with Native culture to tell our stories and set the record straight against stereotypes and misperceptions. Naja, raising the next generation of storytellers.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray.
Okay, folks, I reckon that should be the theme song for Johnny Howard's water plan at the moment. The Faith-Based Water Initiative, Pray for Rain. Oh, my. All right. Before we run out of time, from abc.net.au, ABC News Online, there's a piece here, Murray Darling situation likely to raise food prices. And it opens up with the same statements from Howard, where he says, we should all pray for rain because the situation for the farmers of Australia in the irrigation area, the Murray Darling Basin, is critical. But Democrat Senator Lynn Allison says praying for rain is not good enough. I think that's a ridiculous notion, she said. The Prime Minister has it in his hands to do something about climate change and has chosen not to do that. The federal opposition says the government should have been buying back over-allocated water. Labor's Anthony Albanese says the government has been too slow to act and that it has made it worse for farmers. They've already suffered over recent years because of the drought, he said. Federal Water Minister Malcolm Turnbull said the warning to farmers that they may lose their water allocation should help them prepare for the worst-case scenario. They've known. but you've done nothing for them, you turkey. If there's no water available for irrigation at all during the year, that will obviously cut production enormously, he said. Talk about stating the bleeding obvious. It has the potential of causing a whole range of trees or of horticultural crops to basically die. Talk about stating the bleeding obvious. That's why it's very serious and why it's very important to get this information out there now so the horticulturalists can plan ahead. They've been working on this for years with nothing. You know, the stupidity that comes out of this government. And Albanese's right, and I saw the video and the video bites of him today. And some people, you know, the right side's going to come out. I can see it in the papers. They're going to rally against him and say, "Oh, this is just, you know, this is taking a cheap shot about the environment." No, it's not. The drought is the environment, you jackass. Has everything to do with what's happening on this planet. And Malcolm Turnbull is a twit. The fact that that guy is environment minister is just shocking. And, let's see. It looks like our state government's going to provide some assistance. The New South Wales government says it will do all it can to help farmers in the Murray-Darling Basin. Wish they had done something sooner. The Minister for the Environment and Water, Phil Koppenberg, says the state government recognizes that farmers in the Murray-Darling Basin are facing a potential crisis. It's not a potential crisis. It already is a crisis. It was a crisis last year. It was a crisis the year before. Now it's dire. Alan Brown from the New South Wales Farmer Association is describing the situation faced by the region's irrigators as a disaster. It will really cause shockwaves right through the rural community, he said. Meanwhile, Victorian Premier Steve Brack says he does not feel pressured to sign up to the federal government's proposed takeover of the Murray-Darling Basin. And I know why that they're hesitating, because if Howard's plan goes through, it's going to be privatized. As opposed to Labor has different ideas that it needs to be a federally run effort, but still a government run one, not a for profit privatized one. Could you just imagine if Australia's water supply was fully privatized? You know, this is just nuts. And again, I can only send my condolences to the farming community here. I mean, these are some of the most dedicated people in this country. And this is exactly what the southern U.S. is going to be facing in the next couple of years. We covered this. Last week? The predictions for the southern states of the U.S. And the only reason that you're probably not in as much trouble in Texas and some other areas is the fact that the United States has been, you know, pulling underground water for decades in a lot of places, which is something that Australia has not done. And they've waited so long to come up with a solution that they're way, way, way behind the curve. Ugh. Ugh. It's really frustrating. It's gonna be an interesting winter here. It's gonna be very, very interesting to see what happens. Because you know, this is when we usually get the rain. This is, well, one of the times when we used to usually get the rain, when we used to get rain. A little programming note. We're hoping that tomorrow, and it's looking pretty good, that Mr. Billy Shears will have his first segment on Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. Music with Billy Shears. And Bob and I were sent a teaser today, and what I heard, I loved. And I'm thinking this is going to be a very, very, very cool thing. If all goes well, he's gone and grabbed a bunch of brand new technology that he's never played with before, and he's been running the learning curve all week long, and you know, I'm looking really forward to this tomorrow. And you know, if it doesn't come off tomorrow, we'll have it for the beginning of next week. This is going to be fantastic. I'm really looking forward to this. Just because, as you all know, I love music, and anyone who understands and appreciates music and can talk about it, I dig. It's a wonderful thing. Music is a wonderful thing. So with that, we're going to wrap it up. First of all, I'd really like to thank Bob Kincaid for brilliant, brilliant music choices today, mate. Just absolutely fantastic. And I hope that Agnes feels better. I know that she's very, very tired and saving her energy to produce Bob, which is absolutely the right thing to do. Thanks to our bloggers who keep us going, keep things happening. Thanks to our mods in the chat room. And if you've never been to the chat room, you have to go by headonradionetwork.com and jump in the pool. It's just great fun. We had a really good crowd in there for this time in the morning too. Thanks everybody for coming. Thank you to Scott Berry at B1 Louder Productions for the music. Thank you to the Carpenters for everything they do. Thank you, Peter Godbold, for keeping the computers at the main studio running so brilliantly. And thank you to Ben Birch, the hardest working man in radio. And go over there and drop him a dime, because he's, of course, still got the fundraiser going. So as we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green. We'll see you tomorrow.
Tell you that sometimes it's easier to desire and pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes. Eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be as yours are. I would stop thinking about music and politics. I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. I would stop thinking about music and politics. I would tell you that I poop.
You're listening to The Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Price tag for war in Iraq on track to top $500 billion. BBC concludes at one-year mark Iraqi democracy on rough road. 50-foot mission accomplished, banner unfurled in front of White House. Another top Rice aide quits. ABC says reports of Masri's death false and part of a misinformation campaign. Democrats conceding on the war bill. Hagel says there are ways to deal with a president who says, I don't care. Ex-CIA analyst claims forged yellow cake memo leads right back to Cheney. Leahy says leaked Justice Department memo disturbing and should have been turned over. NYT asks, did U.S. attorneys probe Democrats to impress their D.C. bosses? Voters cool to Bush, but challengers falter. NAACP to give the N-word a funeral. A Bush appointee goes after the White House. Administration proposes new energy drilling. Blair to make definitive statement on his future. Anti-Olbermann website quits after MSNBC's host contract is extended. And no sign of Castro as Cubans celebrate May Day. These are the issues ahead on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show. It's time to enter the wolf's den.